I feel it stirring already, but let's look at the word of God before we pray more. Mark chapter 3 from verse 13. It says, "And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him." And look at verse 14. It says, "He ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." Do you see that? It says, "He ordained 12 that first they should be with him, and then he might send them forth to preach." Why didn't he send them first? See, look at what it says here. And Bible interpretation is very key here. It says, "He ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." Meaning that the reason why he ordained them that they should be with him is that he may send them forth to preach. Why didn't he, if that was his intention, why didn't he just send them forth to preach from the onset? It's because they didn't know him. It's because they didn't know him. Meaning that Jesus places priority in those people who will carry his message, in those people who will spread his knowledge, in those people who would accurately be able to be representatives of Christ on the earth, that they must first be with him. They must first know him. He's placing priority here on knowing him, on being with him and knowing him. And this is very important, because many people think, you know, in this generation, many people think, oh, it's just by going out there with the ambience, looking so clean, and just, you know, preaching, and then you would be able to draw men. No. Jesus Christ saying, before he can send them forth, they have to be with him. He had to first ordain for them to be with him. And this is important, even for people that want to, you know, you want to be in ministry, you want to bless lives. You know, we've learned, you know, last month about evangelism. You want to genuinely, you know, carry the fire of God and get people to see it. You have to first be with him. Ask the fathers of faith. Before there was a call into ministry, they knew God. They stayed with him. They knew him. They had been with him. You've heard the story of Pastor. How his life started in quotes. Just reading the Bible and praying 30 minutes. And over time, after that continuous process of knowing the Lord, then there was a call. And that's even the pattern also in the Bible. If you look at the Bible, in the case of Paul, I don't know if anybody has ever seen that in Acts chapter 9. Look at something. The Bible says that Paul was going to Damascus and, you know, lights came from heaven. You know, he fell on the ground and then he heard a voice. Now, Jesus Christ spoke to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" He said, "I'm the Lord whom you persecuted." Notice, Jesus Christ spoke to him, but he did not say anything about a call. Even though his intention was to call him into ministry, there was no mention of a call. If you now look, read further down in that Acts chapter 9, when it was Ananias' turn, when God came to speak to Ananias, he told him, "Go and meet a man, you know, go and meet Paul. You know, you pray for him, his eyes will be, you know, be healed." And Ananias was like, "I know this Paul, he has been persecuting Christians." And then, you know, God tells him, "Go." And he says, "For I've ordained him to be in ministry. I have mighty things for him." He didn't tell Paul yet, but he told Ananias. And if you notice, Ananias understood the spirit. When he went to meet Paul, he prayed for him. He prayed for him that he might receive his sight, but he didn't say anything about the call. It was now when Paul built a walk with God, he had known God. Then we now see in Acts chapter 13, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work we have called them." There's a pattern first to know God. If you reveal God to people, if you reveal Christ to people, you must know him. You must spend time knowing him. You must take it as a priority to just stay with him. See, not just passing time, but just genuinely, just staying to know the Lord. It's important. You think you have a call in ministry, you must first stay and know the Lord. Go and ask anyone that's gone far in revealing Christ to people. they know, they've stayed, just staying to know God. And this is very important. Jesus Christ is saying here that knowing him, or the knowledge of Christ, is by revelation. Being able to accurately, you know, present him is by revelation. You have to know him. It's by revelation. And you know, and one of the ways that this, you can get this revelation, one of the ways this revelation can be imparted on you is by persevering prayers. Persevering prayers. And this type of prayer is not a prayer where you are asking God for your needs. No. It's a prayer where you just come and you are staying. Do you know what it means to persevere? Persevere means to continue in a thing. Regardless of situation, regardless of how you feel, you persevere. So, one of the ways that that knowledge of God, one of the ways that that revelation of God can be imparted is by persevering prayers. Notice here, in Acts chapter 3, why did Jesus Christ ordain them to be with him? What was the plan? Was it just so that he can be seen in their faces? No. We know that the reason why they were with him was so that he can speak to them. Sometimes they will be the ones speaking to him. They will ask him questions. Master, that thing that you were teaching that time, we don't to follow, we don't to understand. And then he will explain. That was them being with him. It was for fellowship, for speaking, for communication, so that it's going to build up a fellowship. How many of you have gone on a date and all you're doing is just smiling at each other? You don't say a word. Or you say, I want to get on a video call, and you're just like, you smile and you do like this and you just smile. Most likely you'll be like, what's wrong with this one? If you see someone like that in the restaurant, most likely you'll say, what? You know, because building fellowship is actually just staying and speaking. I know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It says, he that prayed, you know, it says, when you pray in tongues, you know, you're not speaking not unto man, but unto God. He that prayed in tongues speaketh not unto man, but unto God. So that means the way that you would, you know, build that fellowship is through prayers. When you pray, you're not speaking to men. The reason why it says, speaketh not unto man, is because prayer is speaking. It is a dialogue, is a conversation, it's a fellowship. So you see, you're not fellowshipping with man, you're not speaking with man, but you're fellowshipping with God. That's what prayer does. Just staying, speaking with him. And if you know prayer well enough, if you're not praying in tongues well enough, you know that it's not a one-way communication. Pray, you start hearing words, you hear it in your spirit. It's come as, you know, sometimes voice of the spirit through thoughts, flowing thoughts. So one thing that we must learn to do as believers is to just stay and pray. Not necessarily seeking for anything mighty, but just fellowshipping. And you know, the second thing that this kind of prayer does for you is that it transforms you. It transforms you. It transforms you. See, I believe one of the greatest disservice people have done to prayer, you know, in these times is lowering it to only be about needs. Oh no, prayer is far more beneficial to you than your needs. Just staying and praying. Oh. And look at Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. It says, and it came to pass, about an 8 days after this saying, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And look at verse 29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Hey. It says, and his raiment was white as and glistering. I don't know what reading your Bible does for you. But many times it makes me just have a stirring to replicate the things I'm seeing. See, Jesus Christ went with his disciples and he prayed to the extent that the fashion of his countenance was changing. That means there's a way you can pray and people will look at you and know something has changed. See, for them to be able to record it, see, the book of Luke is an eyewitness account, meaning what they saw, they wrote. So that means this prayer, the effect of this prayer was so literal that it says, "Say not ye, therefore, are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." You know, just before I came up while I was in car praying, you know, I just heard in my spirit, hope you pray for a new breed. Hope you pray for a new breed. Because new breed is that platform which God has given us for us to serve. It's that platform that God has given us for us to serve Him. It's that platform that we have. And so, new breed is our own. So hope you pray for a new breed. In your personal time, hope you pray for a new breed. We're going to pray now. You know, this is, God has given us a word, quantum leaps. In souls, in the saving of souls, quantum leaps. We're going to pray that, Lord, we see massive influx of souls. Lord, we see massive influx of souls. In all our branches, we see massive influx of souls. Psalm chapter 2 verse 8 says, ask of me and I will give you the nations, the healing for your inheritance. So begin to pray right now. You're going to pray for yourself. I want you to understand something. When a prophetic word is given, it is given for every single member of the church, as many as would open their hearts to receive it. When a prophetic word is given, it is given for every single member of the church, as many as would open their hearts to receive it. So now we've heard the word. It's a time for more. It's a season for more. There is more. So you place your hands on your head right now, begin to pray. Say, Lord, I begin to experience more in my life. I begin to experience more in my life. Enough. Enough of being bound in one position. Hey, it's time to flow. It's time to move. It's time for more. For someone here, you are desiring much more. The leadings of the Spirit. To see it. To see it much more in your life. It's there. It's activated. The gifts of God are activated. From today, you see much more. You flow much more. A fresh desire has come upon you that will activate a new level of the Spirit of God in you. A desire, a passion has been put in you by the Spirit that will cause you to begin to activate much more the gifts in your life. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord, because we know we are changed. Thank you, Lord, because we know we are edified. Thank you, God, because you never leave us without imparting us with something. Thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful time of fellowship. Lord, we give you thanks. Thank you.